Hello and welcome to the official Scotland podcast. If I was to say today's guest is a special guest, that's probably underselling it. No man has played more times for Scotland than our guest today, and no man has scored more goals for Scotland than our guest today. Needs no further introduction, yes, of course, Sir Kenny Dalglish. Kenny, how are you?
How are you doing? Very well, thank you.
Absolute pleasure to have you. Plenty of good memories in this place. Good to be back at Hampden.
It took me a while to walk through the museum there. There's a lot of old faces. Well, they were younger faces then, but they're older now.
Yeah.
And just flood back plenty of memories.
Good. Well, hopefully we can share some of them, a wee trip down memory lane. Let's start with that, you know, record cap holder, joint record goal scorer. How do you now look back on, you know, those accolades, those titles?
It's a great honour when you're a wee boy growing up and you've got an interest in whatever sport. You always want to represent your country. Obviously, my sport was football. And if you saw the school reports, you would understand I was no bad judge. But to go and play and to represent your country makes you hugely proud. And the record, the 30 goals, I've shared it with a wee boy. So a wee boy growing up, your hero was always somebody important. Mine was Dennis Law for a while, so to share it with somebody that you've grown up who you idolise is, it's quite humbling, really.
Yeah. And I suppose at the time you're involved, you're waiting for the next cap and the next cap. But I mean, even now, I think 2020, you were voted the greatest ever Scotland player by the Scotland fans. How special is that now to look back on those achievements?
The Tartan Army's always been special. I mean, if we'd have played as well as what they'd done their job when they came to watch the games, it would have been a lot more successful. But they're unbelievably loyal to the country, and that's a great compliment to them. And it was fantastic to play in front of them. What they must have had to sacrifice to come and watch the World Cups that we played in, and even the games here to go to Wembley. They used to save up, start the Wembley clubs 2 years in advance. As soon as they'd finished the game at Wembley, they knew what the next one was started for 2 years hence. But then that changed as well because the British Championships got moved about a wee bit, but they still enjoyed themselves when they got to Wembley.
Let's take it back to the start, before you've even pulled on the Scotland jersey. You mentioned it's a dream. What do you remember about, you know, being a boy growing up in Glasgow? Did you get to go to Scotland games? What was your, you know, memories of being a young Scotland fan?
I think my sister and I, my dad let us go to one of the Scottish games, and it was Dennis Law scored. I think it might have been Hungary or somebody at the Mount Flora end. Corey came in and Dennis got up and headed it in. I don't even know if we won. But I know Dennis scored, and I know that was the only game I'd been to watch Scotland.
You eventually pull on that jersey, right? And it's a 1971 debut against Belgium. What do you remember of it?
I was sub. Tommy Dock was in charge, and we played up at Aberdeen. And Alec Cropley, it wasn't because he played badly. I think the doc was just trying to give everybody a game. Unfortunately, I was one of the ones that he wanted to give a game to. So to run onto the pitch and play, it doesn't matter. It's no at your normal home ground. As long as you're playing, that's the most important thing. And we ended up winning 1-0. John O'Hare scored. So I don't remember much about the game. I can remember that was the time log it. But it was just to play for your countries. It was fantastic. I remember starting in the 23s, I think. Well, we played youth team as well.
Right.
And then we started 23s and I was in the squad. And I still had spots in my face and everything. So I was only very young coming in. And John Blackley was there with Eric Shadler for Hibs. And they almost babysat us. I was rooming with, I called him Sloop, John Blackley. So I was rooming with him, and it really made us feel welcome. And as a wee boy, you're really nervous when you're going in, but he really made us feel comfortable, and it was great to be part of it.
How special was it to get that first appearance? Because that can't have been a lot. Were you just getting established fully in the Celtic team at that time? I know you had played before, but in terms of as a sort of regular, did that come roughly at the same time?
Yeah, it was the same year. That was the year when we started. I started playing regularly. Before that, I came on as a substitute at Hamilton Accies when we were 10-0 up for the first game, I think, and 4-0 up for the second game. They put me on at half time. And then I played four league games four games. A couple of league games and a couple of cup semi-finals here for Celtic when I was 18 or 19, and then 70-71 I started to play regularly.
I mean, you mentioned Tommy Docherty gives you your debut. I think you played under six Scotland managers in total. How did they... There must have been such a variance there in terms of style and personality. There must have been a big change going through those six. Well,
maybe I hold the record then for getting the most guys to sack. I don't know. No, everybody's different, but everybody's got to do it the way they think's best to do it. And I think the Doc left to go to manage Manchester United. Willie Ormond, Andy Roxburgh, big joke. They've all got their own ways of managing.
Were they all very different characters?
Aye. Well, they've got to be themselves, first and foremost. If you know yourself, you struggle even worse, I think. Yeah. But the players as well, the quality of the players that were playing at that time was huge as well. And there was a great camaraderie. And the first World Cup, 74, Dennis Law was in it. Well, that's how you doing, Dennis?
Your hero.
All he wanted today was train, lie in his bed in the afternoon. He ran with a wee boy that played with Hearts called Donald Ford. And we ended up calling Donald Jeeves because he used to run after. He used to run after there. Dennis said, cup of tea. Oh, the wee man was straight out down to the foyer to get Dennis a cup of tea. So the camaraderie was brilliant, and it was a great place to go and enjoy. Unfortunately, we never did as well as we could have.
There must have been some amount of characters, the number of caps, players that you crossed paths with. You mean Dennis Law, you're talking about him being your hero and the impact on the pitch. How important is it to have characters, off it, when you're meeting up and you're training, maybe staying together, going away? Who are the guys that stood out as being particularly lively?
Well, you get
lively?
A wee bit older, the younger boys come in, don't they? Like wee Charlie Nick gets into the squad, and Mo Johnson, Frank McAvenny, and they were great guys. They really good humour. They weren't cocky, they were just good characters and somebody you get a good laugh with. And going away with the Scotland team, it was never a chore. It was a great atmosphere. And even when you went in at first, and think people might be surprised, but the Rangers and Celtic players used to go on brilliantly. And I know on the pitch, it's rightly so that they're really competitive with each other. Mm-hmm. But when they got together with Scotland, they were more or less maybe because they'd so much in common, they could relate to each other, that although for different teams, but they could relate to each other. The camaraderie in the team spirit was brilliant.
Who would have been those guys then that were your massive rivals at club level, but you struck up a partnership or a friendship with?
Well, Sandy Jordan would be there. Sandy Jordan was there. He was there or thereabouts, wasn't he?
So trying to kick you one week and then friends the next?
I can remember playing against Rangers, and he was given the job to man Marcus. I think he must have thought he'd get the day off. So it was great. Just everybody just got on. Big Derek Johnson, Derek Parlane. Everybody got together.
You mentioned managers and you mentioned Jock Stein. You knew the club version and then you saw the international version. Were they different at all? Did the style change? Was he a different Scotland manager to was a Celtic manager?
No, he didn't have to change. He was so good at what he did. He didn't have to change. And that as when we went to Celtic at 16, 17, I'd known him since then. And without Big Jock, I don't think I'd have been anywhere near where I turned out to be. I turned out to be. So for him, he'll always be hugely important to my football life anyway, for what he did for me and how much he helped us. And I don't think it was a coincidence. Around about that time, you had Danny McGrain as well. They had people wanted to call him the Quality Street Gang, but I wouldn't go that far. And Vic Davison, Paul Wilson, Lou McCarry, George Connolly, they were all in and around that. When he'd the Lisbon Lions team, they were hugely successful. And Big Jock, he'd time to help the youngsters, and they didn't have help a lot of us.
What do you remember about the first goal then? You mentioned the debut wasn't at Hampden, but the first goal was. It was here against
Denmark.
Denmark. How special was that? What do you remember about it?
I think I deflected a head. I think it was a header, was it?
They all count, deflections, take them.
I know, but unusual for me to get a header. Must just have come off. It was 50 pence at that time. Came off one of the corners and it went in. No, it was a corner and somebody at Tory Glen end. It just came in. Somebody knocked it in and I was in front of the goalie. I just redirected it. So, yeah, it was...
First of many?
Well, not that many.
Well, more than anyone else.
But they took one off us as well.
Did they?
We played Wales here. And I think Danny caught one back and I flicked it behind me. And the guy was coming in to clear it and he knocked it into the net. But I think it was
going
in.
Gave an own goal?
I think it was going in anyway.
I think we'll get one added on for you then.
No, I wouldn't like to do that because I wouldn't like to take it away from Dennis.
Look, the great thing about this, because fans will obviously have a favourite Kenny Dalglish goal. What's yours? Do you have a favourite Scotland goal?
Spain.
Yeah.
Spain here.
A lot of fans would say that, wouldn't they? Special one.
I don't know. It's only because my dad was in the front row.
Was he?
I don't know how he got there, but he was there. And when I turned to run to the side, I went...
You see him?
I saw him, aye. I saw him.
How much... Do you have time to take that in? Can you said we started this off, you're saying about being a boy growing up, wanting to play for Scotland. Then you've scored your favourite Scotland goal and you see your dad. Do you have time to take in how that feels?
Yeah, well, I could take it in because years later, I saw my son Paul play at Airdrie
right.
In an under-21 game and he scored. So I thought, oh, this is better than what I did.
Is that right?
Aye. So you can relate. I think if you grow up and you're playing football, it's difficult to relate exactly how your dad must feel. But then I was fortunate. I got I got a feeling for Paul and what he did. And you don't know how I feel good.
Can't even imagine. I mean, look, we could go through every one of them, I'm sure. Not Megan Ray Clements. a special one.
Well, somebody said that was his weak point, so I thought it'd aim for his legs.
Why not? And so did you later become teammates? Not that it wouldn't have been long after that, was it?
I think it was... was that no 77?
Yeah. Did you ever 77 wind them up
or
about
78?
It?
Just a touch.
Just well, a
no, when I was, no, when I was 14. The rest of the boys did that. They said,
Did they? Did they bring
don't
up?
Don't wind them up. I said, it'll be the last time I put one past them.
How did he take it? Was he all right at that sort of stuff?
I was as good like as gold. Aye. He'd have done it to me, wouldn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, if he'd saved a
hypothetically,
penalty or
if I'd get a penalty and he saved
absolutely.
It, I'd never heard the end of it.
Exactly. So the striker's equivalent's putting one.
He's a long time out of short trousers. So just
look, for Scotland fans of a certain generation, maybe my generation, the thought of you going to three consecutive World Cups and what could have been another is remarkable. You must have so many memories of them. You got a standout. Is you know when you just say Scotland at the World Cup. Is there one thing that springs to mind? You know, is it the first one because it was the first, or is it when you scored at one? What jumps out?
I think you've got memories for every one of them, but certainly the first one. I don't think we lost a game, did we?
Yeah, undefeated.
And we never beat through, and I think we played Zaire, and we beat them 2-0. Well, we were a wee bit unfortunate to play them first because nobody. Nobody had seen them before. It's not like they do nowadays. They've got televisions everywhere and scouts reports with everybody. There wasn't a great deal of information about them. But we beat them 2-0 and we thought, well, that's not so bad.
Of course, not knowing that you
maybe
could have put the foot to the floor and scored more.
I'm not trying to insinuate there was any skullduggery, but the coach for Zaire was Yugoslavian. And they beat them 9-0.
Leave that one there. Get us both in trouble.
I wouldn't get myself in trouble because it's a fact. It's a fact. And we drew against Brazil.
Yeah.
No many teams draw against Brazil and don't go through.
You know.
And me Billy hit the post. And it came back out.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to sort of finish off and say any regrets about the Scotland career, but I don't know, that Zaire, is that one?
No, there's no any. It's just a generality that we never did as well as I said earlier. We never did as well on the pitch as what the punters do off the pitch. And I don't say that lightly, and I don't say it because you're trying to appease somebody. Mm-hmm. We had better players than better results offered.
Maybe a great example of that 78 and all the hype and belief. What was that one like then? Because you've got the experience of 74, it's your first one, you've been undefeated. What's
everybody was
like?
A bit critical about the game against Peru, mm-hmm. when Cabillas scored two goals.
Yeah.
But they never knew Cabillas. Mm-hmm. What a player he was.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be that. And I think it was in Argentina, and I'm sure they played Argentina, and Argentina had to win 4-0. And Peru hit the post twice, mm-hmm. before Argentina scored, I think, quite early on in the start of the game. Argentina ended up, yeah. we opened at about 7-0, but Peru were half decent.
Better than people gave credit for.
And then the last game, we're 3-1 up against Holland, looking for a goal that would have got us through. And Johnny Rep hit one for about 30 yards, top corner. But I think that was... That tells you the level that Scotland could have played at, but also tells you the inconsistency that we played.
How do you look back on that Netherlands game? Because, you know, in isolation, that's special. You win that game and you score, and the other goal in the game, of course, other goals in the game. Can you look back on it fondly, or is it disappointing because it didn't lead to progressing in the tournament?
Well, the damage wasn't done against Holland, was it? The damage was done elsewhere. So you can take away a little bit of pride in saying that you beat Holland, but there's no use beating Holland if you can't win the other ones. So if you don't get enough points, you're at the competition, and that's a hard fact to the matter. The scores should have been better.
I suppose that's where you guys were then setting your sights, because we were regularly at tournaments then. So on to 82, you then go to a third World Cup. How does it feel then, being an experienced World Cup player?
But the 78 one, we only get 1 point, I think, for the three home internationals that year.
That set the tone?
I don't know if it set the tone, but it might have been a warning. If you look back at it, you can always look for signs that say, well, maybe that's why. Mm-hmm. But the one after it, 82 in Spain, obviously, if David Neary hadn't scored against Brazil, I think they were quite happy with a 0-0. I think David got them angry. It was a great goal, but I think he got them angry.
Pulled them up.
Aye. And 4-1. Wasn't he great, but I mean, Brazil were a special team.
Well, you'll have mixed it with the elite at club level. When you're doing it at international level, doing it against that Brazil team, what do you remember about that experience? Is there anything that stands out from them?
I think the year before. Oh, no. We've been 77, I think we went on a tour.
Right.
To South America. We played Chile, we beat them 4-2. We played Argentina, drew 1-1 in Buenos Aires. And then we get beat 2-0 against Brazil. But that Brazilian team were unbelievable, Zico. I mean, we get beat 2-0. I don't know how. Big Ruffy it was unbelievable. So it only get beat 2-0 was a bonus, but you knew what kind of quality. They've always got quality, haven't they? That's for some reason, you go and play for a country and the quality goes upwards. They're all great players individually, but collectively, they were amazing as well.
Is there such a thing then as a favourite out of the three World Cups? Ultimately, they ended in similar fashion in the sense that we couldn't progress, but they're all in different places, against different teams, different experiences. Is there one that's a favourite out of those three?
No, if you say there's three tournaments, you've got to pick one. I don't know which one would be more favourable than the other. Yeah. At the end of the day, the only thing the three of them have in common is we didn't qualify. So there's no favourite out of no qualifying.
No nice trips, no nice parts of the world.
We're not interested in parts of the world. You're interested in getting results on the pitch.
This is me speaking as somebody who would just love to get to any World Cup.
I know, so we love to get there, but then that doesn't give you the right not to perform, does it? And it wasn't for lack of trying.
And then, of course, we mentioned regrets, whether you're that type or not, to look back, missing out on 86. How did that feel?
Well, I couldn't do anything about it. The specialist told us that the ligament had flicked off in my knee, so he said they advise you not to go. Well, you've got a certain responsibility to your club, haven't I? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was player manager, So, there's just no way I could have gone. I could have gone, but then who knows what would have happened the next year.
Yeah. Were you the type then that could take that in the chin quite easily? Other players might have realised, well, that's me probably played my last World Cup then, won't get another chance, and that might be quite a negative experience. Was it like that for you, or you're a bit more pragmatic about the full thing?
No, I think you have a responsibility to your club as well, don't you? I mean, it's fantastic to represent your country, and there's times when you came up here to play where maybe if it had been a club game, you'd have went, I don't think this is going to be helpful. But you played for your country, and whether that's good or bad, it's still a bit of loyalty towards your country. Mm-hmm. So I think you've got to be fair to some in some degree to your club, and if you're player manager, then I think there's a greater onus on you to do it correctly and properly. So you've just got to sometimes be fair.
How did it feel watching that one then, having played in the previous three? Able to enjoy that experience at all?
No. You can't enjoy watching the match. No. You can't.
Just want to get out there and make a difference.
I mean, it might have been a negative difference, but no. You want to play and do your best, but to sit and watch it is difficult. I mean, I remember going to watch the Scotland-England games at Liverpool. We got to a couple of Champions League finals or European Cup finals, as we're called then in Scotland. We're always playing England. So we couldn't go. The home internationals were on, but we got an exemption because we were in the Champions League final. And I think Robbo scored with a penalty at Wembley. We won 1-0. And we all watched it, and one of the players, Sammy Lee, the wine bar. So we all watched it in the wine bar. And a couple of the English boys weren't too happy. Well, Big Hansen and I were delirious. We got lost on the way home, but it didn't matter.
Was that what it was like in those days? Because you'd have had the split, you know, you'd have your Alan Hansen and so many English teammates to enjoy that side of it.
Yeah. Well, we beat them again somewhere, and we were watching it. So we got a fair dues. We just forgot about the ones that we did.
Ah, exactly.
Ah, no, they weren't
just
important.
Just get past them.
They weren't important. but the boys, it was all good.
Yeah.
It was all taken well.
How would you sum up then what it meant to play for Scotland? I mean, so many dream about it, not many get the chance, and you did it more than any other man.
I don't think I'm eloquent enough to describe how important it is for you to be like that. You're hugely proud to be Scottish, you're proud to be Glaswegian as well. I'll never forget it. I won't forget this, where I was born and bred and brought up. And there's an awful lot of people put an awful lot of sacrifice into Kenny Dalglish playing football, going professional football, and even going further and representing his country. So no, I've got a lot of people that I'm grateful for, and they knew that I was grateful for. And there's still ones that hopefully realise how much appreciation they have for myself. I mean, a lot of people have helped me to be fortunate enough to play for your country once, and to do it 102 times is beyond all expectations. So it's not just about me playing, it's about the contribution other people have made to that.
Would you make of the current group? What do you make of Stevie Clark's team at the moment?
When the quality of the players that Stevie's having available for him at the moment has got better. And I think that's reflected in the results. They're still improving, because the better they get, the more attractive it is to the kids growing up to become footballers and be their best. The fact McDonald's set up a fantastic programme there for kids that can go and play and join in at the football. And it's not about winning for them, it's about taking part. And anybody that puts out any help for them is brilliant. I mean, we're at Hampden today to represent the grassroots football and present their awards. By the way, without people like that, you don't have an international team. You don't have a football career. You don't have anything. As I say, everybody that's been a success must have stories similar to what we had and memories like we had. And if it's not for people like that, then you don't have any football.
Brilliant, Kenny. An absolute pleasure. Thank you
no
very much.
No problem.
Thank you.